Welcome to the service this morning. We're blessed to be gathered here. We're thankful for what all the young people shared here this morning. I felt ministered to and inspired. God bless you. Thank you for giving us just a little peek into your lives, into your hearts of what God has done and what your desires are going forward and what God wants to continue in our lives and what you committed in your hearts to go towards or for. It's okay to share desires even if we're not there yet. There's two things that can happen with that. We can hear ourselves saying it, and then after we say it, there's other people that hear us say it and actually brings just a little bit of accountability to our own hearts, and it helps strengthen and deepen that commitment in us. And so that's good that we heard some of your desires and commitments to. Many things have come up again from the past week. The chairs in our hearts, as mentioned, love, devotion to God, that surrendered life. Discipleship, answer typically coming from the other side of the conversation. The Abraham, Isaac, personal standards, convictions was a big one, I think, for many of the young people. And so I also heard this thread through different ones this morning and even throughout the week as I talked to with different of the young people. I heard this comment being said about, there's so many things here this week. I'm overwhelmed with all the needs in my own heart, and how do I even start implementing them all? And maybe that finds you a little bit there this morning too, after a week of just, and even it can be for me. I'm supposed to bring a message this morning. What do I yet say? But I just want to make a comment on that overwhelming feeling that we sometimes get when there's just a bombardment of good things that come into our lives with messages. Think of Abraham with me. You know the story. Abraham, God told Abraham, your son, Isaac, I want you to go and sacrifice him at Mount Moriah. Abraham goes, he's heading for Mount Moriah, comes to a place where his servants, your servants, you stay here, and Isaac and I, we're going to go sacrifice and worship God. So, God has something from Abraham there, on that mount, that we look as very difficult. And yet there was a seemingly a resigning in Abraham's heart of the fact. Would Abraham have to had go through that with God's all-knowingness? Did God not know Abraham's heart? Does he not know you and I's heart and the choices that we will make in life? But just think with me on this just a little bit. This overwhelming. There's just so much. But if we just choose a few of those things, as you did this morning, you shared a few of those, I don't know how many there were, who's to enumerate them, but you chose just a couple of them, and you're going to go for them. You're going to take that step towards. And here's Abraham. We know the story. He's got Isaac there on the altar, and he raises a knife. And God is looking on here. How is this going to unfold? He knows how it's going to unfold, but he's there. Just imagine with me. And maybe the knife raises. He says, oh, wait, Abraham. Now I know. there was an act. There was an act being done. There was an act being played out. And God saw it. Now I know that thou fearest me. God is so faithful and honorable that he sees our first step. And he's there before we are. Take that step. It'll be okay. Many of you asked for prayer, and we want to just have a word of prayer here and specifically pray for you and us together here. So let's bow our hearts. Maybe we can stand if you can. O God, even our God, we're very thankful this morning that you hear us and you're faithful. Father, it's to you who we worship, and we bring these words to, and our hearts are turned towards you this morning. We're just blessed and thankful for what you have brought already this far. And Lord, you know what's in our hearts, and Lord, we express these things to others, but you know them already. And even the young people here, as they express their hearts and the things that you've been poking around in their lives with, and they're responding in a small way here this morning, and we pray, Lord, for them. You've seen each one of them here share the things that you've laid upon their hearts through this past week and the work you've done. And Lord, we pray that you would take them at their word. They're wanting to take a step forward, just another step towards you. And Lord, give them faith. Give them courage. Give them fresh zeal, strength from your word, from your truth, from your spirit, maybe even from another soul. Lord, this is that encouragement to walk forward in faith and trusting you with all their hearts. So mind and strength, as you heard this week, past week. Father, we all, so the rest of us, we just gather around together here before your throne in worship. Lord, we all want that. In the end, we want that. We want you, we want your stamp of approval upon our lives. And we want to take a step, we all want to take a step closer towards you here. And this morning, Lord, we're looking to you. Fill our lives with grace and courage. Bless us here together. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, young people. We had a good week. God was moving, so let's go on from here. To the parents and to the rest of us, just say a word here. Thank you for serving in the capacity where you found yourselves. We couldn't all be here. You couldn't all be here. There was other things that were going on, other obligations, responsibilities that you were faced with. Although, I'd just like to encourage each of us to listen to those messages that our young people have listened to and heard if you have not. Often after Bible school, we come back to the realities of life. And it has a potential to take away or for us to get discouraged by implementing these things in our lives. So, the young people, there's things that they shared that they want to work towards. And we on the other side, we want to be able to encourage to do what it takes to adjust. Maybe there are some adjustments that need to be made in our lives. you know, if we're not getting good results, then maybe we need to change to get different results. If we keep going down the same path and there's no victory, strengthening, drawing closer to God, etc., we're going to keep getting the same results in our spiritual journey. And if we keep going like this with no change implemented, we're on a suicide mission. Then, if that's the case, then we must make purposeful and sometimes hard decisions to change our course in life. Maybe we need to change the way we do things or how we do things. The things that hinder our spiritual growth, we have to cut out. Things that distract, we must cut off. I believe the world, coupled with our own selfish pursuits, has largely warped our view and purpose of our existence. We heard the young people. How can we together strengthen and encourage? How can we be that encouragement, but also a helpful motivator in cleansing our lives from even the good to the best? Layers of skills have a tendency to grow over our eyes that hinder our vision in life. Sometimes it just happens. Life keeps going, and there's layers of skills that have a tendency to grow over our eyes that hinder our vision in life, and sometimes things get blurred. And after a week of hearing the Word of God being preached, it starts knocking some of those skills off. You know, just continual preaching, the Word of God being expounded on and entering in. Sometimes it starts knocking some skills off to where through that we may get a glimpse. What seemed to be impossible or no way out or forward, we now see maybe a glimmer of hope to where this can maybe work out. I would like to have that to continue this morning. Maybe by God's help, to be able to knock more of those skills off, if they are there. So our vision can be reestablished or just a bit clearer. I don't have a lot this morning. Just want to turn to Revelations. This could come across as hard. That's not the intent. I want to encourage what the young people are striving for and towards, and we want to all together just reinstate some of those visions and establishments in our own heart, and I want to encourage us that way. Some of these things can be maybe heavy as I pondered what the Lord gave me, but this is what was. Some of these things were just resounding in my heart through this at the end of this past week in my own heart, and so some of these things are just coming from what God was speaking to me on. So if you can receive that, may God be glorified in it. So here we have Revelation in chapter 3, the church of the Laodicea. We'll read verses 14 to 22, but there's only maybe two primary verses that we're going to be looking at, but I'll read the whole just to get the content of this church here in Laodicea. Revelations 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wast cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. And that's where we get our title from this morning. Buy of me gold. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Little background of this, or maybe thoughts that are attached to this particular section of Scripture. Laodicea supposedly started around they have it referenced from 261 to 246 BC. Seems like there's some variation of thought there, and it was the Syrians, but then also the transplanted Jews from Babylonia what made up that city at its beginning. Even though it stood on an important trade route, it really didn't grow until it became a Roman province in the 190 BCs. And there's a purpose for going through this. We'll come back to then. It then became a great and wealthy, became very great and wealthy, a center of industry. And two primary things that were there were it was very famous for its black wool from sheep, and also what they call Persian powder for the eyes. And I don't know, I wasn't able to find too much I didn't have a lot of time to look either, what that all consisted of. There was some medicine stuff practiced there, so I don't know what the Persian powder was all for. It was for the eyes specifically, but I'm not sure what else. But it was manufactured there, supposedly. So those two things were largely the prominent things that caused their wealth to be. And in 60 AD, so much so that in 60 AD, the city was almost entirely destroyed by an earthquake. And the citizens there were so wealthy that they rejected aid from Rome. They rejected any financial help from Rome, but quickly rebuilt it on their own expense. And say why or what, other than that's the information that was given. It was a city of great wealth, with extensive banking operations there. And suppose, I didn't look this up either, but its ruins are supposedly still there. And if you want to look at it, it is called Eskihisar, which means old castle. I could write it on the board, you can look it up. I think that's what it's called, but was it just an interesting note to me, I guess, that they have the actual ruins there. I think that's how you spell it, so if you want to do more research on it, that'd be maybe a place to start. Some attributed the Laodicean church with the time frame. So different of these churches, they kind of place, not that that's when they took place or when it was spoken to them, but for what was coming out of the churches, they place them at different time frames throughout history. This was representing this time frame. This represents this time frame. The Laodicean church, I think, comes the last one, and they place it from the 1900s to present, if that makes sense. So as we ponder this a bit, with our affluent culture and society, and maybe even in our midst, what do we have need of? Okay, so just going back to what they were famous for, let's go back to the wool and the powder for the eyes, and also the incredible wealth that was there. So, because thou sayest, in verse 17, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. This was a reality there. They did not need any help from Rome. They can get it. Earthquake destroyed almost the entire city. They rebuilt that with their own you know, means. And they're sitting there, I don't need you. We're rich. I have need of nothing. Was pretty directly to their hearts, to the Laodiceans. But no, it's not. They were in a state of mind, I am rich, I have need of nothing. But you don't know that you're actually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now also in verse 18, I said, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment. And he speaks right towards the wool that largely their clothes were made of, that thou mayest be clothed. Not your wool, but the robe of Jesus Christ, the pure white raiment. The white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of the nakedness do not appear. And then the second one is right in the same verse. The Phrygian powder for the eyes. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. It was just interesting to find this at a different source, and then here it is in Scripture. He's speaking right to the two things that they, or three things, however many you want to count there, the fact that they were wealthy, and then need of nothing, the wool, and then some kind of salve for the eyes or whatever it was. But he pulled those things out, and this is what he speaks to right here in the center of this account. What do we have need of? So we come back to 1900s to present, and we live. We didn't choose that we are living here in this time frame. We didn't choose that, but we do have responsibility then in it and how we pertain to it. Okay, are we too self-sufficient? Maybe yes. The question can be asked: has this hindered our spirituality? Here was a very rich city with this attitude. The angel was told to tell them that you are neither hot nor cold. And that was a repulsive response. Spew. You know, when you get something in your... I still remember, I don't know why this comes to my mind. We were in Indonesia on a camp project, and some of you will remember this. Somebody came through there, one of the natives was coming through there with a little boy, something to sell. It was some kind of a thing in a bag, and or in a cup. I'm not sure if we put it in a cup. But there was some, I think it was some kind of gelatin that was in there. And you went to drink it, and one of those things sucked in your mouth, and you just, it caught you off guard. It felt like, I don't know, maybe I was the only one that did that. I'm not sure that I don't know if I spit it out, but it felt like just rejection right away, because I don't know, the texture of it was kind of repulsive. And so I had to think of this, you know, neither hot nor cold, something you take in your mouth that just, you just want to reject. Repulsive. But it says here, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, some things of spiritual value, things that are truly worth something. You know, they had everything, but the Lord said, you don't know what you don't have. You don't know that you're wretched, miserable, and poor. You know, we can't see ourselves. Thou sayest, but really you're this. You say you're rich and need of nothing, but really, you really don't have much. The phrase that stood out to me in this is simply this. So what we tell these few thoughts here is buy of me gold. Gold. You know, in today's world, an ounce of gold is worth more than any other substance of the same weight, physically speaking. The things of God, sorry. I don't have these scriptures before me. Is this thought of one in Romans here? Let not then your good be, chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ, is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. The kingdom of God. So the things of gold in our spiritual journey are the things of God. And let us not get distracted with the things that are tangible, things that we can touch, see, and those things. But let us go to higher heights. So buy of me gold. So in Laodicea, they had the physical gold. So it wasn't the physical in what he was referencing. If you want to be rich, get the spiritual gold that has been tried with fire. And sometimes these things are refined by difficulties in our lives, in our responses to them. We heard some of that this morning here from some of the things that the young people shared. Refined by difficulties. And even in their even in the prayer song that they sung. Not forever in green pastures do we ask our way to be, but the steep and rugged pathway may we tread rejoicingly. And those things are that have a refining aspect in our lives if we allow that to happen. White raiment. You know, they had wool, nice wool. They were known for their they were famous for their wool, and there was a major commerce with it. But that's not what he was talking about. These letters are in red in our Bibles. If you have red lettered Bibles, this is the Lord speaking. This is get white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. The robe of Jesus Christ, the robe of righteousness that is often expounded on, or clothed with Christ's righteousness. The best raiment that anyone can get. It's of more value than earthly riches. And then we have the eye salve. It's not this worldly manufactured stuff, but it's the eye salve. It's the anointing of Jesus Christ that we can see. That our spiritual man can see, is able to see beyond the physical. To bring truly godly understanding and perceptiveness into our soul, that our lives are transformed into his likeness. It seemed like the Lord addresses two big things they were hanging on to. Maybe it was their securities that they needed to surrender. Buy of me gold. You know, we have gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. In the light of God and eternity, what has the greatest value? As we think of our spiritual lives, our Christian experience, our value system has to be calibrated by God's principles, and we find them in his word. If we don't read or study or spend time with, how will we be calibrated? On a digital caliper, we always have to reset it to zero to get the right reading as a starting point. In the realm of our life and its pursuits, we have to come back to God and his word. And sometimes we need to make those adjustments to come back to zero. Okay, what's God saying? What does God say in this matter? Come back to, okay, we have our own ideas and things, and we draw from wherever, but sometimes we just need to come back to, okay, what does God's word say here? Just recalibrate. Make adjustments. Sometimes we have a caliper there, just a cheap one that we use at the shop sometimes, but it's digital. Sometimes after you spin it back and forth a few times, and it gets off. You know, I don't know how that all works, but it gets bumped out of line. And so sometimes the adjustments are bigger, and sometimes not so big. Sometimes they're just a thousandths off. And sometimes it's more. But sometimes we need to make those adjustments. And sometimes we need our brothers and sisters to help us with that, to recalibrate where we're off. And it'll be helpful for us if we don't just go to those. You know, we like different than the young people shared about the chair situation here, where the answer usually comes from the other side. When we ask a question, typically the answer should come from the other side. And so the reason we don't, some of the young people are sharing, we like what we want, and we just want a little bit of tap on the shoulder to help us, you know, feel good about ourselves or whatever. And so that's how we sometimes do, maybe with our asking. We want to ask those that are very gracious. We want to ask we'll stay away from the ones that you know they'll just gently say how it is. And sometimes we don't want that. So we go, you know, we pick and choose who we ask. But it would be helpful for us if we don't do that. And we just go to the ones that are painfully honest with us. It's actually a help to us. But we usually want what we want. We do what we want to do. And don't tell me what I can do or can't do. Thank you. But this displays an unsurrendered life. This displays a very willful life. It's not a life committed to the cause of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. It's to selfishness. We're thinking about gold. We're talking about, buy of me gold, Jesus is saying. The best and the highest value. Sometimes going for the gold means getting rid of even good things. Sometimes that means getting rid of precious stones even. Because we want the best. The question was posed last week, and I've been pondering it since, off and on. And I'm just going to share it for whatever it's worth. These thoughts have been going through my mind. This is what we have this morning. The question, I think. It was said this way. I might have missed it. Maybe I put it together with a combination of thoughts. I don't know. But there was a question posed, something like this: who buys your shoes? And so you can park on that. I shared, I think, on one night just a little bit. But these things are real. You could say what I do or my parents do. Okay, yeah, we pay for them. I pay for them, and or my parents pay for them. But where does the influence come that causes me to buy these shoes? And you could put it for clothes, music. You know, you can go through your whole life asking those same questions. And it was stated, some of the young people said, about the influence, where. Who are on the chairs? Where's the influence coming from? Okay, so maybe we pay for them, but someone is telling us what to buy. Who is it? And so these are questions that we should be asking ourselves. A lot of these thoughts stem out of last week, like I said, with the youth and for the youth. But these are for all. These things are for all of us. Maybe it's us parents that need to be calibrated or adjusted. Maybe it's a major adjustment. Maybe we got bumped out of whack a little. But the reason for the question is for us to consider where our input and or influence is coming from. These things are important because they take us in a direction. The designers of this world appeal to the flesh in every area that we can mention here this morning. The designers of this world appeal to the flesh. Whether it's shoes, clothes, music, hairstyles, even Christianity as a whole and how it's lived out. Where is it that we are drawing from? Example, shoes. If I am drawing from the world, I will be buying the latest fad shoes. That's simply put. If I watch sports, that is who I will try to imitate. I will try to imitate my heroes. Whether good or bad, this can be good. But the question is, where is my influence coming from? We're thinking of gold here, the best. And to consider our own lives. And if I watch these things, watch my heroes, I will try to imitate all the way from my hair to my shoes. We may not doubt this. These things are real. It does come out, even in our speech. You know, we can talk about clothes in the same manner and ask the same questions. The designer people, they're ones, they're going to design things that sell. They're going to design things that sell. In the sports realm, you know, clothes, attire, will be form-fitting attire. So in order to do this, we have to be fit, you know, in some of these things. I think of my own testimony, and it's not a very good part of it, but when I was at home, we had a set of barbells there. It wasn't nothing fancy. And my older brothers had, I think, one that was probably 10, 12 years older than me, had gotten a packet from the Iron Man. And so him and another one of my brothers, older brothers, were, you know, a lot of nights were spent in the back room, you know, pumping iron, doing anything from curls to squats, bench press. They had made a homemade bench press, you know, pumping iron, working out. And so I got in on it, some of that. I was a small whip of a boy or a man, whatever I was at that time. And we did some of that, those things. And you know, pumping iron, working out. I just don't think, you know, now I look back and I think that the vanity of it all, I just don't think that this is for a Christian. But this is what will happen when we follow. Depending where our influence is coming from, we have to be or become. You know, now I look back and I thought, man, that was a waste of time and vanity. But that's where I was at. I wasn't converted. You know, it was all in the flesh. But these things tend to close that are form-fitting. And if we draw our influence from the world, this is where it will end up at. This is where it will turn to. We'll start doing things to accommodate whatever it might be. We'll do things to accommodate whatever our hearers are doing. We could do the same for music and other things, you know. Even for our work and businesses, the same question procedure. Where are we getting our influences from? Is it really of God? Is it the best that we could actually get? Is it going for the gold? Are we settling down with just maybe wood, hay, and stubble? Hope not even there. But even precious stones, maybe it's not that really the best that we could be getting. I just don't think that the world's philosophies, even in business pursuits, coincide with the kingdom vision and principles. Let us not try to mesh those things together. It is not buy of me gold. If it's not that, then it should not surprise us if we are struggling spiritually and seem at odds with the church. I trust that's not happening here, but if there ever comes a time when that may be happening, where we're struggling spiritually and that we seem to be at odds with the church, then maybe we should reconsider, okay, where's our value system coming from? Where are my influences? Where am I drawing my input, my influences from? That could maybe give us our answer, a peek into why this might be happening. The only way that we'll have victorious lives and come together as a brotherhood is if we are drawing solely from the same source. Otherwise, conflict will very sure be ensuing from it. And I would suggest that we adjust our lives completely to the Word of God. Who buys our shoes? Who buys your shoes? Who buys my shoes? Buy of me gold, says the Lord. I want the best for you. Would you pursue it? Would you take it? Would you look for it? Music is a big thing. We had tremendous music last week up here from you young people, the chorus. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Bless you for your investment in that. Thank you for that. Choosing wholesome music, God-honoring, God-worshipping, that comes from the heart and just explodes out of our mouth. Worship, true worship, something that's of gold, value of, is of gold. Nothing less than that is would we be okay with. Are our songs such as we would be okay for them to be played over this sanctuary before all here this morning? Just a question for us to ponder. Is it gold that we're listening to, or is it something less? If not, my dearly beloved, how will we ever stand before God, who is much greater than any one of us sitting in here? This is a sobering thought. We will have to answer before God if that is in our hearts. We could speak about reputation a bit. You know, what are we trying to protect? We sometimes try to protect our reputation at the expense of eternal damnation. We're human. We do those things. And my encouragement to us here this morning is that we just go deeper. Maybe from my heart to your heart. There are a lot of random thoughts here, and please forgive me for that. It's just a kind of an outflow of what the Lord was trying to do with me last week, too. You know, just the whole thing of coming this morning, what am I supposed to say after a full week? A lot of us heard a bunch, and I'm just reiterating some of the things that we did here, maybe in a little bit different way. But I just would like to encourage us all to listen to this message if we haven't. And to buy me gold, implement the best things into our lives, and prepare today for eternity. Just a little bit on time. You know, we each have 24 hours in a day. The question comes, what is our time ratio? What's the ratio of our time spent with what and where in our days? What percent of the day does the Lord get our undivided attention? Our answer is often full of self-conceit. Well, you know, He gets all of it. Everything I do is for Him. That's a good answer, and that's right. We should. But it's okay to be honest here. How much of our time does the Lord actually get? You know, is things like Milwaukee a blessing or a curse? Sometimes we just get brighter lights and work later and work way into the night. And, you know, we do these things. We do this. But if we continually do this at a regular basis, we probably won't prosper spiritually. And I guess some of my own testimony in this, I remember when every night was late during busy season here, even a few years ago, and we weren't up to capacity of production, what the demand was, and so we suffered long nights, late night, a lot of late nights. Children remember those things. But we struggled through these times. We struggled spiritually. I know I did. Any little thing was big, because it was strained. Our time was strained, and we weren't spending time with God. And we just struggled through those times. We have to consider what our trade-off is. Is it worth it? Will it be worth it? Our trade-off. We've tried to do major adjustments in our work time in this area, and I think it's been beneficial to us now having more of a work schedule, a time to start, and then also a time to quit and put things away, and spend more time with family and the Lord. And those are the things that are of value, really, in this life. And this other thing, maybe more reaching out to others. Maybe we could help each other in this area. Maybe there's some things that we could work on in this area, even as a congregation, to have more time reaching out to others, even the local community. Maybe going out and singing more, even through the week some, if possible. Again, we'll just close here. Just trying to encourage us to take a look at where our time and efforts are going to, where our influences are coming from in the context of preparing for our own souls, own hearts, and our families for eternity. May God help us in these areas. Again, may this phrase continue to ring through our ears. The Lord says, "Buy of me gold." No adjustment is too painful compared to the importance of being prepared for eternity. God bless you.